Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That game, as it went on longer and longer, I wanted it really bad, but oh my God, the players wanted it so bad. And I kind of want to start here.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That reaction from Steph Curry at the end of that game, I feel like a picture tells a thousand words. Yep. And in this case, a video tells what? A gazillion? Like seeing him hit the three, run over, celebrate with Buddy, Buddy and him going crazy, him turn to the crowd, pull the Golden State jersey part out on the new black jerseys.
State jerseys.
And he's pointing to it. And I know there's 1,000 lip readers. I don't know what he said. All I'm going to say is the image of him screaming the way that he did, that felt deep to me. Now, I don't know if it was personal toward any individual or just the moment. It felt like Steph Curry rising to the occasion, stealing the show, to your point, and reminding everyone, not only is this the house that Steph built, he's still one of the baddest dudes to walk the earth and one of the greatest basketball players of all time. That felt so deep.
Well, last night he became one of three players over the age of 36 to drop consecutive games in which he scored 35 or more points. The other two guys on the list alongside Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Those are only three guys in NBA history who scored had back-to-back games in which they scored 36-plus at the age of 36 and older. Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And it is the house that Steph built. It's the organization that Steph built. And he's reminding everybody, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm coming up off this Olympic gold medal, and I'm carrying that momentum. And right away, you can see Stephen Curry, his movement right now is next level. He's cutting at a just high level. His speed looks like it's back. It's explosion. And it was personal. It was personal when you saw the first possession where Klay Thompson, and we discussed the matchups yesterday. And as we went gone through the matchups, the light bulb popped in my head and said, oh, snap. Steph will be guarding Klay Thompson. When you think about the matchups and how the Warriors play defense and how they set things up. And then you flip on the other side and say, wow, Klay's not really guarding guards anymore. He's probably going to be guarding Draymond Green. And you got that right away, and you got a lot of trash talk right away, and you could feel the intensity right before tip-off. This is more than just a game in November, folks. This was personal.
How many
and
games?
That Steph scream was personal. It was a message saying, hey, you chose up to go to Dallas, Texas. You left us. You're our brother now, but between these white lines, we want to destroy you. because we want to get 5 rings before you do, right? This is deep. This is very deep, Shasky. Whoa!
I want to make sure that we get into this. You have been going to that arena since its inception. I would say outside of one of the players or one of the people that actually works in game day activities, whatever that is, security, yeah, vending, etc., nobody's been to that stadium more than you. What was it like?
It was unreal.
Because through my television, and I'll let you finish, it felt like a raucous party that turned into a playoff game.
It was already a playoff game, and it was a party. So I get there to Chase Center, and I get there fairly early, and I'm trying to get to the gatehouse at Thrive City to drop my stuff off. And Thrive City was as packed, if not more packed, than even when they hosted the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics.
No way.
The line was going to the street, dog, to get in for Klay Thompson to see him warm up. Thrive City, I couldn't get through the gatehouse. It was shoulder to shoulder, back to the... People couldn't wait to get in. So right away, I'm thinking, whoa, this is different.
Uh-huh.
This is different. So Klay Thompson walks into the arena, 400 Warrior employees.
That was so classy.
Had their Captain Class or Raymond Ritter special.
That was so classy.
You know? And so the warm-up starts.
That was
so
classy.
So you get into the gym. You get in the Chase Center. And you could feel the electricity inside the building as they're warming up. Now, I had to go inside. I had to go to the gatehouse as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shared the court during warm-ups. But from what I heard and what I received from Kareth Burke and Festus,
yeah,
Klay wasn't trying to say what's up to Steph before the game. Steph was maybe waiting on him to say what's up. That never happened. Klay was locked in. And so then you get to tip-off, or you get to the pregame warm-ups, and the tribute video was special.
Yeah.
Everybody waving at Klay hats. I'd never seen anything like it. The Captain Klay hats, you see them all moving all around the arena. It was a great touch by the Golden State Warriors. And then the game starts, and you get the first possession going out of Klay Thompson in the post with Draymond Green on the weak side, coming over for the double, and Steph Curry fouls him, but he's like, I'm not letting him score. It's not happening today. And then Draymond Green, because he can't get lost into this equation.
I thought he was amazing.
Yes, Steph and Klay, there's going to be a lot about those two guys. As my boy Justin Dunaway out there in Fillmore, California says, they're not the Splash Brothers anymore. They're the Clash Brothers because they're going to be clashing for the foreseeable future. Look, Draymond Green hit a shot, a three. He hits one in front of Klay Thompson, hits another jumper. He's talking to Klay. Hey, I'm out here. I'm here. He's looking at Steph saying, yeah, boy. Remember, Steph got the strip on the second possession. And Draymond's talking to Klay, and he's dapping up Steph. And then as the Warriors go on a little mini run in the first quarter, Jason Kidd runs on the court, calls timeout. And Draymond's looking at Jason Kidd talking that talk. And I said, oh, yeah, this is different. I got Game 7 intensity, Draymond Green. I got Steph Curry with veins popping out of his neck. And I got Klay Thompson wanting to spoil the party for the Golden State Warriors and steal the show at Chase Center. Last night was one of them ones. It was a special, special regular season game. And this team, and I told you this about this fan base, they will start to get behind a team like this.
No doubt.
When they're diving, and they're scrapping, and they're doubling, and they're going for layups, and they're trying to dunk on you, and they're bombing threes, and they're not turning the ball over, Chase Center's going to start to love this team. And Chase Center was as loud, if not louder, than any game I've been to in a very long time at that building. It was wild.
We'll explore, you know, Wiggins on Luka, Kyrie being guarded by Melton. Kyrie's amazing. All the different elements of this team. Because in the words of Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular.
How about the Anthony Melton, Tommy? Gosh.
He's been amazing. How about his timely double team on the Steph strip late in the game was brilliant. But I want to get back into something because this is important. These are guys, how many different, what is it, six finals?
Six finals together.
Okay, so let's think about what you're saying. This was game seven vibes in the second week of November.
Listen.
But these aren't guys that didn't play a lot of playoff games.
These are
war daddies, playoff battle dudes that are hardened by a decade of gladiating it out against LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, and a plethora of other elite stars. And they're the reason why so many in the Western Conference will never sniff the finals, and we're never going to get a ring. You're telling me you felt the intensity was the same as those playoffs? I'm taking your word on this.
The speed. And 888-957-9570. You can call the show if you want. And tell me about your experience.
It felt that way through the television.
In that building.
It felt that way.
I mean, it was a who's who there. You could feel the intensity. That was playoff vibes. I've been to a lot of playoff games.
That's why I'm asking.
I've been going to Oracle Arena. chase hitter, it doesn't matter. That had playoff intensity to it. And that's a team in the Dallas Mavericks. They'll get P.J. Washington back. They'll be a deadly force in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. They have a very nice team.
Gafford and Lively are ridiculous.
They're good. P.J. Washington is going to help. Klay Thompson is going to have open threes. And Kyrie and Luka are going to do their thing. That had playoff intensity. Those teams refused to lose last night. I'm telling you, that had... The Warriors didn't want to lose it. Steph didn't want to lose it. Draymond didn't want to lose that. Klay didn't want to lose it. That had playoff vibes last night, Chasky.
Watching Steph do that the way he did, that felt so personal. It just felt so, and I'm not saying that he hates, you know, Klay or anything like that. It felt like there was an attack on the Steph culture that he built over a decade plus. And whether it's outsiders saying it's done and the era's over, or there was something that happened over the last couple of years on his watch, Steph Curry's watch, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I don't know what he was feeling. I can't speak for him. Well, I'm talking about my interpretation through the television. To me, it felt deep, it felt personal, and it felt like he was out to make a statement.
It was a statement.
And the statement was received.
It was a statement. I'm still here. I still run Golden State. I built this place. I was the first one here. I helped put this thing on the map. Sure, you were my splash brother, but I'm the one. I'm the straw that stirs the drink around here. Stephen Curry. And so it was a reminder to the whole NBA world that I'm still here. But not only that, you know, Klay the night before, and Klay didn't want it to be all about him. That's just who he is. But Steph was going to get on the microphone and say something about Klay as a nice little tribute to him before the game. Klay texted Steph the night before and scrapped the plan. Said, no, I don't want that. I don't want all that. Klay would have scrapped the plan about the 400 employees saying what's up to him. Klay didn't want on a fanfare. He really didn't. Because maybe he felt some type of way about the way he left and the way things went down. And you haven't heard a lot from Klay about the situation. But obviously, there's some sourness there. There's no doubt about it.
Sam Amick wrote an article this morning on The Athletic, and he kept alluding to the contract Draymond Green got and the 4 years that Draymond got and how he wasn't offered the similar amount of years and this and the other. So to your point, that clearly is coming from someone. You know, Sam Amick knows his stuff. He gets his – he's a reporter for The Athletic, covers the NBA for a long time. You know, he's getting that from somebody. So I do believe what you're saying. There's a lot of credence to that.
And you get Steph hitting the first three over Klay Thompson, pointing at him, the and one at the end of the first half, where he's looking at Klay like, where you at, big dog?
They needed that, by the way. That and one before the end of the half was big.
Right. No doubt it was huge. So there is something brewing here. But more importantly, the Warriors come back from this 4-1 road trip, and they win another game against Dallas, and they're down 9-2. And they got the Memphis Grizzlies Friday night, probably not going to have Ja Morant. There's something happening with this basketball team. Now, I don't know how good they're going to be, but I feel pretty optimistic about them making the top six and a playoff run here. I'm not going to get crazy about deep playoff runs, but with that intensity and with the way Draymond Green is playing and with the way Steph Curry is moving around, and Andrew Wiggins battled his ass off yesterday. I know the stat line doesn't do it justice. He had to run around and guard Luka. He battled. Kuminga and Buddy Hield being the first two guys off the bench, they're battling. They're scoring 30 points. You get 30 points from Kuminga and Buddy Hield last night. Those are huge. That's huge production. I thought the five late in the third quarter for Pods was important. Going into the fourth quarter.
Pods.
So
we have a whole discussion on Pods.
Well, we got all that, and you got the Anthony Melton who hit two threes yesterday. That was a playoff-like game, man. There was something special to it. I can't get down off this high. I couldn't go to sleep last night.
I feel like I'm hungover this morning.
No, I couldn't go to sleep last night.
Bonte, you referenced Andrew Wiggins, and you're going to look like, if you're a box score guy, you're going to look, oh, well, he had 8 points and, you know, a couple rebounds, and he had some assists and some fouls. And
watch the game. That's what I say. Watch the game.
He was awesome because Luka is one of the most difficult guards maybe in the history of the NBA because of his girth and his ability to basically bait you into fouls. That's what he is. And his shot making is tremendous. And then there were multiple times he got switched on to Kyrie. Kyrie's one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I don't know where I put him. I'm not saying he's top five. Just in terms of a watch and seeing him, you're like, God, my God, what a pass. My God, what a spin move. My God, what a degree of difficulty jumper in the lane. Kyrie is unreal. And then you mix up those two bigs, Gafford and Lively, with them. Both those guys give me elements of my favorite version of Tyson Chandler, where they're just rugged. They know their role. They've got better hands than you think. They're good. Really good screeners. They're great lob threats.
Well, it was a great trade by the Dallas Mavericks last season. At the NBA trade deadline, the Dallas Mavericks traded for P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. And it changed their entire team around. Sick. Great lob threats, good defenders. It was the first game Lively was back. But Draymond Green with the great block shot. The great block shot at the end of the game. Just Draymond Green has just been... Listen, look at the stat line from Draymond Green again. If Steve Kerr said it, we'll play this out. He came out and said it. Draymond had Game 7 Finals intensity. And you know what? Steve Kerr's not lying.
It's incredible.
He's not lying because I'm telling you, in the tunnel, I'm watching Draymond Green. I said, this is different. I looked at Mully, and Mully goes, nah, this is different. And Fezzi Fell's jumping around like, oh my gosh, this is like... It was a show yesterday. They put on a show, and the Warriors are box office. You know the NBA's happy with the Warriors being 9-2. But Draymond Green's stat line last night, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And more importantly to me, he hit the 2 threes. They're now 139-30 when he hits two or more threes in a basketball game. No turnovers for Draymond Green last night.
Under 3 minutes to go, he gets the charging call underneath the basket.
Scott Foss was looking right at it. I don't think that was a charge.
It's funny because you said it to me walking in, and I'm rewatching the last 8 minutes. I love doing that. And yeah, his left foot is completely inside the circle and inside the paint. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think they come down, they hit a bucket, they cut the lead to 1. And then Draymond gets the block at the rim. Block at the rim was, he timed it perfectly.
He had no turnovers last night.
And then he stood there and then he like stared him down as he's on the ground. And Dray was amazing.
Dray was unbelievable last night.
In the third quarter was sick.
He's had an unbelievable start to the season. There's no doubt about that. So the Warriors win 120-117. How about, do we got a time for a call here? Let's get to a call. Let's go to Nick in San Jose. Oh, I haven't heard from Nick in San Jose.
What's up, Nick?
I don't think I've heard from him all season. Maybe he's feeling optimistic about 50 wins.
They're
like
real.
That unnamed player. Hey, Nick, that unnamed player, media day. Bonte, we win at 50. Do you believe now, Nick?
Dude, we are going to win between 58 and 62 games. And like Pac-Man, we need to gobble up these games because Lively's and Gafford's and Dallas and in Cleveland, those are tough teams, man. So we need to gobble it up. Look, I'm waking up this morning and going to bed last night with a huge smile because one, Festus, Mully, and you, Bonte, together are just rock solid. And in the morning, we got of the county city of San Francisco, you guys representing us, your keen intellect and your passion and knowing the streets. You're our homie. Now look. I got to give Draymond his flowers. He is so rock solid. That block was amazing. And Curry last night just playing puppeteer with those big guys at the end of the game. We were down 7 points with 4 minutes to go. And Melton hitting that three to get it started. Yeah. Now, look, I really thought having Flo-Mo, Buddy Hield, and having Melton were an additive losing Clay, but seeing Cameroon Clay, Game 6 Clay, 14 threes Clay, okay, I can go on to China Clay and Captain Clay. I miss the guy. But you know what, boys? I think we all love about sports is the competition. And I'm sick and tired of people competing and then signing jersey at the end of the game. They ran at each other yesterday. It was competition. It was beautiful. Laser pointing. Shimmy shaking. It's what it all is about. Last thing, though. Kerr has to foul there at the end of the game. What is he doing there? If he makes that three, I don't get that.
You know what I was thinking
about? You guys think he should have fouled or let him shoot it?
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.